have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. One by one, they chose to die. The Son of God, they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come, and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Of that song, this is from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 to 6. Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 6. If you'd like to grab your own Bible and turn to Deuteronomy, feel free to do so. You could also pull up your Bible app or the Bible in front of you. You're welcome to do that too. Looks like the page number is 323, if you'd like to turn the pew Bible to the right spot. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here together today. We thank you for the opportunity to praise you, to worship you, and to hear from you through your holy word. Lord, I pray that by the power of the Spirit, you give me the words that I need to speak to this congregation. And Lord, I pray that you open up the ears of the congregation also through the power of the Holy Spirit, that your word sinks down deep into our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm actually going to read the first or the last verse of chapter 31, and then I'll get into 32 here. And Moses recited the words of this song from beginning to end in the hearing of the whole assembly of Israel. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. They have acted corruptly toward him. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you? This is the word of the Lord. Moses' song starts with a call to worship, and he speaks to the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth, they are witnesses of our great God. They are witnesses because they testify to God's unchanging character, his unchanging will and his ways. The sun that God created, by the way, it rises in the morning and it sets every night. The rain falls. That's what rain does. The seasons, they change. And the stars, they are in their place. Our world, God's great creation, they speak to God's character. Because the sun rises for everyone, and the rain falls on everyone. They do not change. And so it is with God's character, and so it is with God's will and his ways. And his will and his ways, they are real, and they are binding. Moses here sings, let his teaching fall like rain. May his teaching never be changed. May his teaching stand firm and be unwavering amongst all of the people. Recently, there's been a denomination that's been making some headlines. They actually had a general assembly this year, 2026, not far from us, right in Milwaukee, where this denomination, the leaders all gathered to discuss the matters of the church and to think about their future and those kinds of things. And this is really interesting to me, but what is crystal clear in Scripture is being treated as something to be, I don't know if this is a real word or not, but it's something to be theologized. Massage the words a little bit. when thinking about this particular topic, and it looks like it's being lobbied in the court of opinion rather than being set against God's unchanging and holy word. Well, what's the issue? What has come up? And this is something that shouldn't, it's so unthinkable to me that it blows my mind that they even have to discuss this at all. It seems completely warped, and it's wild, and I'll tell you here what it is. It's called Con-10. That was the name of it, but they're looking to put this in writing. At least a small group from this denomination would like to see it in writing. It would require ordained clergy to be monogamous, meaning that ordained clergy could only have one partner. This is causing, in this denomination, national debate. And progressive church advocacy groups that are part of this denomination, they think that putting something like this in place would be against supporting diverse relationship structures. Some fancy words, right? And they want to study sexuality and family structures to better suit ethics. Again, these are all kinds of fancy words to just say our way and not his. Our way and not his. You want the plain truth. God's word, no theologizing needed. Me too. And it's crystal clear. Pastors and elders are overseers. And here's the plain truth from 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is just the first three verses. This is what Paul says to Timothy. He says, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money." Crystal clear. Moses here is calling for God's word to rain down on humanity and onto his people Israel, the plain truth of God's word that is unchangeable. So Moses proclaims, "Let his teaching fall like rain, his words descend like dew, everything soaked in God's will and his ways, doing things his way only, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants." We're talking about for the good of all of humanity, hope for the nations. His ways are the best ways. He is a great God whose character shines across all of creation. Moses invites us to proclaim his name and to praise his greatness, because he is the rock. He is the firm foundation. He is right and just. Jesus himself proclaims that if we hear his words and do them, we are building our house on the rock. But if we hear his words and don't do them, we are building our houses on sinking sand. Moses continues. He says that he is a faithful God who does no wrong, who is upright and just. Do you ever wonder who God is? Do you ever wonder what God is like? We only need to look as far as his character. And here we find out that one of his characteristics is that he is just and holy. Well, what does this mean for us? How do we picture God? Well, God is completely upright. Unfairness does not exist in him at all. He rules the universe with a righteous standard. It's impossible for him not to be holy. He never does evil, and he always does what is right. He is unchanging. He is the ultimate foundation for all integrity and morality. He is faithful, and he always keeps his commitments and his covenants to his people. Our traits, they can change, and we hope that as we have new life in Christ, our characteristics and traits will change so that we are conformed to the likeness of the Son, of Jesus, that we follow God's will and his ways, and that we day by day look more and more and more like our Savior. So our traits change, but God's traits do not change. He is perfect, holy, and just. Now, maybe you're a little bit confused at this point in the message, because maybe you've seen God and his ways as unfair. And maybe you've thought at one point in your life, or even now, that God's standards are warped, and you've questioned his integrity, and maybe you've even thought of him as evil, or maybe you've even said, you know what, I don't think that everything in the Word of God is true, maybe just parts of it. Well, what's going on here? We're made in the image of God so that we have this whole sense of justice, but sometimes what we think of as justice doesn't line up with God's picture of justice. What is going on here? Well, we have a main issue. Humanity has a main issue to deal with, because, you know, we're happy to see justice come upon others, but we don't want to see justice fall upon ourselves or upon our family or friends, or maybe even justice on people like us. And we certainly don't want to be held accountable for anything. So what's the disconnect? Well, Moses highlights a people who are far from God here. He says that they have acted corruptly toward him, towards God. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation. What's going on here? What's the deal? Well, the image of God in us is corrupted. Yes, we carry around the image of God with us, but that picture is corrupted. It's broken, so that we still have a sense of justice, but our sense of justice can be perverted. You know, we can see this on the news every night as we look and see complete perversions of justice. We see this in our own legal system. Things that are mixed up and upside down and backwards. We see this when it comes to corruption. We see this when it comes to the unborn. We see this sometimes in our workplaces and at school, and we think, what is going on here? It's because of the fall. It's because of Adam and Eve. It's because Adam and Eve ate from that tree that they were not supposed to eat from, and they introduced this corruption and sin into all of humanity. Because of that, humanity is broken and corrupt, and we don't see eye to eye with God. Moses continues. He says, "Is this the way you repay the Lord? O foolish and unwise people, is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you?" This is ignoring who God is, ignoring his sovereign power, ignoring his righteousness and his justice. Is there any hope for humanity? Or will his justice rain down on all of us, and will it be our doom? There's an interesting part of Revelation talking about the end. In Revelation 6, 15 to 17, it says, "The kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and calling to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath of the Lamb has come, and who can stand?'" Yes. Yes, that end will come down upon humanity. But I don't want to see that end for any of you. And I don't want to see that end for my friends and my family and those that I've worked with in the past and present, or anybody else that I know, because there is hope. There is hope. And that's what we're about here at First Reformed. We're about making disciples by seeking God and serving others so that the good news of Jesus is brought to people who, just like us, desperately need the Savior. Because an absolutely holy God cannot overlook human sin. That's us. And all people fall short of the glory of God. And the inevitable consequence is his wrath. But for all with faith and trust in Jesus, he died in our place as a substitute. He took the wrath we deserved upon himself, and he purchased for us eternal life by his own blood spilled. We have this in the book of Romans, chapter 5. "Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." May we all see God's truth, his righteousness, his justice, and my hope is that we all join together in the end, not calling together for rocks to crush us so we don't have to see the face of God, but that we join in a new song. This is also from Revelation. This is called the Song of Moses and the Lamb. The song of, we sing songs here, and they become deeply meaningful to us. There are songs in Scripture, too. We have Moses' song from Deuteronomy that we started with. Here's one in Revelation. This is Moses and the Lamb. And this is from Revelation 15. It goes like this. "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways. O King of the nations, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Evil will not prevail. Justice, God's justice, will reign. And we will see the fulfillment of that when Jesus comes again. In the meantime today, we are invited to live in the light of his character. We can praise him and glorify him that he is just and holy, and there's no wrong within him whatsoever. So we can praise him for who he is, and we can live in light of that. We can walk justly day by day. We can call out the wrongs that we see around us. doing more than just noticing. We can love mercy because with Jesus, we have grace. And because we have grace, we can be grace-filled to others. We can act with humility, looking at our own actions first. We can remember the widow, the orphan, and the poor. And we can live with gratitude to God for all that he has done for us in Jesus. And we can look to his wonderful and awesome character, and we can grow in our knowledge of him, that we grow closer day by day, knowing that he is just. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for your wonderful, awesome, tremendous character. And Lord, today we looked at how you are a just God. Lord, this week, I pray that we keep a lookout as we read Scripture. Lord, give us guidance. Direct us to those, maybe in our daily devotional, that this word, this character word to describe you, justice, that we see that pop up in new ways throughout the week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I invite you to rise for song today. This is number 804, Battle Hymn of the Republic.